For me, life this year has completely changed. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And I've not really talked about this stage of my journey with anyone. But I want to talk to you this morning just about growing into your next season. Because I think for all of us, there's a season to come that's going to take something different than the last season has taken. And for me, one of the things that God spoke to me about probably 2 years ago, if I'm absolutely honest, and I've only just got round to doing it. Anyone else do that? God talks to you and then you kind of put it on a back burner because you don't want to hear it. And he doesn't change what he talks to you about until you do it. Anyone know that as well? So if you want a different word from God, do the last thing he told you and then maybe he'll change the record, right? So God began to talk to me about how to grow into my next season. And one of the things that God said to me was, Joe, and he was being quite honest with me. And these are just things that I think. And when it kind of affects, starts to make me feel a bit sick, then I know it's really, really God talking to me. And I really felt that actually to grow into my next season, I needed to get fit. Amen. Physically fit, right? So I've been procrastinating about this for like years, right? And I went jogging with Debbie once. Didn't do that again. Okay, she's a lot better than I am, so I couldn't win. And I nearly had a coronary when I got to the end of my road, right? So I'm like, to get into the next season, I need to get fit. So I had this conversation with Math, and who, you know, was kind of supportive. I believe his comment was, he bought me a gym membership for my birthday, right? And his comment was, we will have the conversation next year to see if we're going to renew it. I think that was the best comment of all that he gave me. And so I went and I joined the gym, right? And so you have to go for an induction, which is one of the most embarrassing moments, really, of your life. So, like, I go into this gym and everyone's got proper gym clothes on. I've got the jogging bottoms that I've worn when I've lost weight and put it on. Right? So they're a little bit old. They're a little bit baggy. And I've got my hair tied back and it was pre-dyeing my hair last week. So like these gray strands all the way through it. And I looked horrendous. And I go in and this guy who's about 24 came and said, hi, my name's Ryan. I'm going to be showing you around the gym. I'm like, Lord, just let the ground open up and let it swallow me now. And so like I'm talking to Ryan. It felt he was a little bit like he was on speed. And so like we're walking through, we've not even got through the gate to go down the hallway to get to the gym bit. And he's like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh no, here goes. And I said, oh, I run a church. He was like, you're a vicar. And obviously we don't call it vicar here. And I said, easiest way, yes, I'm a vicar. He says, no, you're not. I'm like, no, I am. He's like, seriously? I'm like, yeah. And we're having this conversation, nothing to do with the gym whatsoever. I have no idea how this is going to help me lose weight. Okay, or help me get fit. I've just no idea. So we're having this conversation. And then he'd go in and talk a little bit about the gym. And he said to me, there's some classes that you can go to. And he said, body pump would be really good for you. And I don't know what that meant. I chose not to take offense, right? And so this girl came up to me. She said, come to my class. I went, well, I'll come in and stand at the back. She went, I'll put you at the front. I'm like, I am never going to your class. You think that you are putting me at the front of the class, okay, and while you are doing all this body pump stuff, because the very words sent fear shooting through my veins. I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it, right? Don't say it'd be amazing for me, right? I've not been yet, okay? I have to admit that. It's kind of a bit of therapy. And so he started talking to me, and he's like, so when you're doing your church thing, I was like, okay, here we go. He says, you wear robes. I'm like, oh, no, love. Like, those would look horrendous on me. Can you not see? And he was like, so what do you wear to church then? I'm like, jeans. He was like, seriously, that is so cool. I'm like, you should come along sometime, Ryan. And all of a sudden, he went back to talking about the gym. So he kind of took me around the gym, and he was showing me all this stuff. And he said, right, he said, we're going to go on the treadmill. I was like, okay, here goes. Because if any of you are slightly unholy and you've seen Bridget Jones and you all know what bit I'm going to, don't you? That bit where she gets off, I think it's the exercise bike, actually. It's the same difference, isn't it? She gets off the exercise bike and her legs give way underneath her and she kind of just flails onto the floor. I'm like, and that is going to happen in front of Ryan, the gym instructor, okay, when I get off this thing. Thankfully, it didn't. The Lord strengthened. I lived with strength and dignity, okay? And the Lord strengthened me. But I've known for a while that for me to go into the next season, actually, what it's going to take is for me not to be out of breath every time I get up to the top of the stairs, or, you know, for me to be able to kind of, you know, speak and run harder and run faster than I've ever done before, not actually run. Okay, although that will happen as well. Amen. Amen. And hopefully I won't go as red in the face. You know those people who come off the gym and like they just look glowing? It's not me. So if any of you are going, I can't go to the gym because this is how I'd look, okay, come join me. All right, because we'd look terrible together, okay? And so I've kind of procrastinated this, but God kept talking to me about it. So I was like looking through the gym thing, and I saw on a Friday morning there is a Zumba class. Do not laugh, Freya Parkinson, right? So there's this Zumba class. I thought, right, I used to quite like Zumba. Me and Diane used to go and stand at the back of the class, right? And so I went to this Zumba class and walked in with this lady who must have been in her 60s. I was really thankful. And her name's Irene. And me and Irene got chatting. And then I walked into this Zumba class. And then in walked these two women. Honestly, it was hilarious. Like, all like dolled up. I'm like, who puts makeup on to go to a Zumba class? Seriously. Okay, because like it will all be dripping down my face. It would be terrible. And these two women, like they've got the kind of bandana thing on and they are like ready to go. And then there's all of us like, what are they doing? Okay, and these two women are like, and they're pros. They're like Zumba pros. And I thought, this is what I'll do. I'll stand at the back of the class, right? So I'm stood at the back of the class. I'm doing my Zumba. I'm getting it all wrong. They go one way, I go the other way. They're kicking their legs, I'm not doing that, okay? I just get it all completely and utterly wrong. It's hilarious. And this lady Irene's like looking back and just smiling at me, thinking, oh, bless her, it's her first time. She might get used to it, or she may be like this throughout the whole time that she comes. And then all of a sudden, the instructor says, right, I'm going to swap it around. I'm going to lead from that end. I'm like, no, no. You can't leave from this thing because that means I'm at the front of the class and like everybody's going to, the like lady with the bandana and all like the really good stuff, she's going to be watching me. I'm going to be getting all wrong. The class are going to lose weight and their muscles in their stomach are going to be toned from laughter, okay, not from the Zumba thing. And I was like, oh. But there are some times when God comes to you and he says that actually different seasons take different things for you to grow into what he's got for you. And God's talked to me for a while just about getting fit and looking after myself and being healthy and all of that kind of stuff. I can't quite manage to give up the chocolate. Okay, so I do extra exercise so I can go and have a piece of cake afterwards. No, I don't really. Okay, but at different seasons in your life, God will tell you to grow in different ways. And sometimes those ways might sound very spiritual and sometimes those ways might not. But God calls us at different points to grow into our season and our crown and what he is placing on us in different ways. And 21 years ago today, I packed up my Peugeot and like packed all of my bedroom in it. And I moved from Halifax in Yorkshire through, okay, to Louth, 21 years ago today. I've been here 21 years today. And I can tell you that in those 21 years, time after time after time, I've had to do different things to grow into the season that God takes me into. And some of those seasons have been great, and some of those seasons have been awful, and some of those seasons I would love to relive, and other ones I want to forget. But I want to come and say to you today that wherever your life is at right now, there is a season ahead of you that God's going to want you to grow into. And you're not there yet, and the crown doesn't fit. It's kind of slanted a little bit, okay? It doesn't fit you properly yet, but actually there will be things in your life and there'll be things over the course of this day that God wants to talk to you about getting into the place that he has got for you. And what I want to do is I want to take us to a few verses in Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read from the Message version of the Bible. And it says this, Romans 5 verses 1 to 8, say this, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his doors to us. How amazing is that? We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with trouble, because we know how trouble can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death, and when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready, and even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, but we can't, and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever to him. Incredible words that the Apostle Paul pens, incredible words that we're told, that while we were still sinners, it says in the NIV, Christ died for us. And there's a verse in there that says that our suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope, it says in the NIV, and hope will never disappoint us. Do you know this morning, ladies, this afternoon even, okay, that everything will produce something in your life. Everything you're going through, everything you've been through, everything that you're sitting in right now, everything will produce something. It's just up to us what it produces. So suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And very rarely do you jump from suffering to hope. Got to go through the process. Because everything is going to produce something. And it may not always be the thing that you want it to produce, but actually if you will just keep going long enough, that thing that God has said he's going to produce in you, he will do it. Because everything produces something. And growing into the crown that is placed upon you is all about standing in the grace that is given to you. You see, God places things on your life. He places a call on your life. He places, you know, different things that he has got for you to be and do. And he places those on you. But his grace that we stand in is given to us. And as long as we will stand in the grace that God gives us, we will be able to rise to any challenge that he places on us. You have the right amount of grace for the season that you are in. Did you know that? Nothing is required of you that God hasn't first graced you to come through. I love that. I love that. As I look at our season and look at what God is doing and I look at what God is requiring of us, I'm like, God, thank you so much that all the grace I need, all the strength I need, all the stuff that I need to do this, I already have. All I now need to do is grow into what you have given me to do. And the crown that is placed on us is one that will require growth. It will require strength. But let me tell you this, at the same time, it will just require surrender. Where we go, God, I surrender. So, you know, on the week before my birthday this year, I surrendered and I went to the gym and I paid all of my birthday money to get them to torture me for the next 12 months. Because it sometimes just requires surrender. Yeah. It sometimes just requires us to go, okay, God, I'll do it. Okay, God, I'm not necessarily going to like everything, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to surrender to what you have for me. And the biggest thing this morning, ladies, that we can do is to choose to surrender to the plan and the will of God. Whatever that is for your life, whatever it is for the things that are going to be before you, the easiest way that I have found, I've been here 21 years, been a Christian most of my life, but the easiest way I have found is to just surrender. Because he's not going to change the record over your life. He's not going to go, oh, you don't want to do that. That's fine. Well, let's just try something a bit different then. Jeremiah tells us, for I know the plans I've got for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. God knows the plans he's got for you. And you saying no won't change the plans he's got for you. It might just delay it happening. So me procrastinating for 2 years, yeah, I'll get there eventually, God, I'll get there. I know what I'll do. I'll go jogging with Debs. And we all knew that that wasn't going to carry on. Okay, hate jogging, like hate it. I don't mind standing on a treadmill doing it, but I really don't like, you know, jogging outside where other people can actually see me. But in the end, it was just, okay, God, if this is what I need for the season I'm entering, I hold my hands up. It's why we hold our hands up in worship. We're just coming and saying, God, come on. I surrender. I totally surrender. And Christine's already said this morning, so much of what I'm going to say is going to fit in with what she said. She's already said this morning that sometimes getting up and getting dressed is an option. It is a choice that we make. We have the option not to. And I want to say to you this morning that growth is a choice, sometimes in spite of circumstance. There's no good time to grow. Can I just tell you that? There's no good time. Any of you who've got kids will know there's no good time for them to grow out of all their clothes. And you need to go and buy all new ones. There's no good time for that to happen. And in God, it's the same. There's no good time for God to call out growth in us. We've just got to go when he calls. We've just got to go when he tells us. And what I want to do, I'm glad I followed Christine this morning, is I want to just take four things that sometimes we've got to grow in spite of. Sometimes we've just got to go, in spite of this, God, I'm going to grow. And the first thing I want to say to you today is that sometimes we need to grow in spite of the consequences of the past. Because sometimes, even though we believe that actually Christ died for us, so our past doesn't have to define us, and that is absolutely true, sometimes we have to live still with the consequences of what has happened to us or what we have done. And sometimes we've got to live with that. And this year for me has been a really weird year and been a really painful year, if I'm absolutely honest. And it started in January. I'm glad we did Crown for Life the other day because I got how I would explain this. And you know when the Apostle Paul writes about, no, when Luke writes about Paul and Barnabas having a sharp disagreement, that's where we're going to start in January. And Matt and I had a very sharp disagreement. And so we got to talking and talking about how things were going and how I was doing. And I had one of those meltdown days that we all have sometimes. And it was my turn in January and I just totally melted down. Like, I stayed in my pajamas or I chose not to get dressed that day, both physically and spiritually, if I'm absolutely honest. And we got talking and we began to talk about the elephant that has been in the room with us probably for about 10 years. And we began to talk about what happened when we were trying for a family. And in the space of 3 years, my body was pumped full of hormones to a huge extent. I mean, massive. I sat with the head of gynecology at Leeds, and she said, in our last cycle, she said, I'm going to give you more drugs than I've ever given anyone to try and make this happen for you. And they just my body was pumped full of all of these hormones and chemicals. And Matt looked at me and said, when we went through that, it was like, I lost you. I knew I was going to do this. And we have lived with the new me. That's not always been as nice as the old me. And we've never talked about it because it's just too painful sometimes. You know, you've just got to get to the right moment. And we began to talk about, you know, how my personality changed and, you know, how sometimes I can be very quick to judge or I can be very quick to get angry or I can be very quick to just snap. Never here. Because a lot of the time, the people that see the real you and what you're really going through are the people that, you know, are behind your front door. And we just really began to talk about this and to talk about the taboo subject that had been there for a long time and talk about the consequences that we've lived with because of what we went through. And it wasn't because of anything that we did wrong. It was just the amount of hormones that they injected into me over a 3-year period. And my personality just changed. And I was sitting with the hairdresser the other day because I was covering the grey, so you didn't have to look at that under the lights. It would have kind of shined a little bit, but and she was saying, you know, your hair is just like, there's so, like, my hair just doesn't grow down, it grows out. And she was like, there's just so much of it. And even though we're only giving it a trim, it looks like I've cut all of your hair off. And just began to talk to her. I said, yeah, it all changed when I had hormone treatment. My hair changed, my skin changed, my personality, everything changed. And so at the beginning of this year, I just said to God, God, we've got to move past this. Because actually my husband needs his wife back. And I need to stop feeling like this. It was like I was trapped in emotion. And some of you that have been through stuff like this may know what I'm talking about. But the rage kind of started down here and moved its way up and came out of here. And it was just, it was awful. And I've always kind of prided myself that my home has a great atmosphere and, you know, and God resides there. And, you know, we just want peace in our home. Matt and I just both want peace all the time. I don't know how we're going to get it with a 6 and 8 year old, but we want peace all of the time. And I kind of pride myself on, actually, that's what our home is like. And that wasn't what our home was like. And something else was taking over. And it was the consequences of the past. And God began to talk to me and began to say, to grow into your next season, you need to deal with this. And so when Kaz just said, for some of you it's painful, what I'm bringing this morning is actually born out of real pain. And God told me halfway through the year, you need to deal with this so you can speak about this. Because I very rarely talk about something I'm in the middle of dealing with. Because I've not seen the victory. And we're seeing some of that now. And so I went to Shia's at Hope City and just kind of in the worship. And someone got up and they were saying, if you need healing, I just want you to raise your hand. And so I kind of stood there and thought, is this the same? You know, because you kind of think of healing as the physical sense. And God went, get your hands up. Okay, and they just began to pray and no one came. It wasn't like, you know, the finger, it is you. And there was this huge, amazing word. I just stood there in the presence of God and God just said, are you just willing to go on the journey? Because I'm not going to do it straight away. I was like, seriously, God, why? Why can't you just zap me now and, like, you know, reverse it all? And God just said, you need to go on the journey of this. This isn't going to be an instantaneous healing. This is going to be something I do in you over time. Are you willing to go on the journey? And so for me this year, I've been going through Romans chapter 5. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope will not disappoint you. Sometimes you've got to choose to grow in spite of what your past has said about you. And for me, it was living with the consequences of something that should have brought joy and should have brought this, you know, this amazing life story. And for me, it was coming to terms with the disappointment of that. Well, God, was it all worth it? Was what I'm living through now really worth it? And I came to the point that actually, yes, it was, because it makes you who you are. And God does stuff in you through every single journey that you go through. But I want to say to you this morning, some of you have got to say, in spite of, I'm going to grow. Yeah. I'm not going to use it as an excuse. I used hormone treatment as an excuse for 8 years of why I'd put weight on. And at the beginning, that was true. And then it turned into chocolate, right? Or bread, or the other things that I put into my body. But I want to say to you this morning that actually, you know, you can blame your past for a lot of things, but there's got to come a point where you choose, in spite of it, to grow, in spite of it, to follow God's plan, and in spite of it, to do what He is telling you to do. Because if you allow your past to, it will ruin your present and it will kill your future. So we've got to make a decision today, ladies. This is my past, and in spite of it, in spite of everything that's gone on, in spite of maybe some of the consequences, maybe you're like me and you live with some of the consequences of things that have happened in your life. In spite of those consequences of that, God, I am going to follow you. I am going to grow. I am going to grow into my next season. I am going to become the woman of God that you want me to be. I am going to become the person that you have created me to be. And I want to say to you this morning, actually, when you decide, I decided in a room full of 900 women or however many were there, on my own, I just stood there with my hands raised and just said, God, I'll do the journey. And I would love to say that at that moment, the Holy Spirit went, no, you don't have to. I'll just do it all at once. I just wanted to see if you were prepared to. And he didn't. And for the last 10 months, God has taken me on a journey that has transformed my life, that has transformed my home, that has transformed my parenting, that has transformed my marriage, that has been transforming who I am and who I'm becoming, because I said I'd go on a journey. I didn't expect God to do it all at once. I was prepared to go through the stages. I was prepared for something to be produced in me because of what I had been through. Do you know this morning that God is a restorer and he's a transformer? Yes. Sounds like, you know, some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., doesn't it? But some at Marvel. All right, but God is a restorer. Years ago, God spoke over my life and said that he will redeem the years that the locusts have eaten. And for me, that particular word had all to do with marriage and all of that kind of stuff. But you know what? I've gone back to that this year. God's like, I'll redeem the years that you feel have been taken. I'll redeem that time. I'll bring joy instead of despair. I'll bring peace instead of chaos. You know, I'll bring peace in your heart instead of rage. I will do all of those things as you allow me to restore you and to transform you. So sometimes we've got to grow in spite of the past. Number two, sometimes we've got to grow in spite of the voices that are inside of you. Do you know, we all have those. Even the most together person in the world will have those voices inside of them at times that tells them they're not good enough, you can't do it. If only everybody knew, okay, and I've had those voices this year, Joe, if only everybody knew what you were really like. I'm like, actually, what I'm really like is what God says over me. It's not always the outward stuff. I'm not actually really like this. Life has done this, but that's not who I am. And sometimes we've got to still the voices inside us. Sometimes we've got to shut them up. They don't have a place. They shouldn't have a place. But those voices don't usually start inside us. They begin outside us with someone's throwaway comment, with someone's thing that they say that hurts you, with someone's put down, with someone telling you that you can't do it, that you're not good enough. And we've got to learn to silence those voices and choose which ones we're going to listen to. Because sometimes we've got to grow in spite of them. Not everyone is going to love who God is going to grow you into. And I think especially as women, we find this. You know, not every woman is going to love who God grows you into. And some are going to want to pull it to pieces and some are going to want to tear it down. I'm very fortunate in my world that I have women around me who just spur me on. And I just say, you can do it. There's no reason why you can't do it. But I want to say to us, we need to still the voices inside us. Words are power, and sometimes they stay with us for way too long. And I know it's a difficult journey because I was someone as a teenager who went through this and whose life was actually really marred by some of the words people spoke over me. And so when I, you know, thought I was all this and went to, you know, do ACE teams and work for Jesus, I had to begin to unpick some of that. I can remember sitting in that chapel at the IBTI Bible College, freezing, because it was November and the heating didn't work. And I remember sitting there and having to begin to unpick the voices that were inside me. I had great leaders on my first year who helped me do that. And I sat under great teaching and I was really blessed. But sometimes we've got to unpick all of that. We need to discipline our minds on what we let in and what we allow to stay. I read this a while ago and it came up on my Facebook the other day because I'd shared it probably a couple of years ago. And it says this, one day, Thomas Edison came home and gave a paper to his mum. This makes me cry, this one. And he told her, my teacher gave this paper to me and told me only to give it to you. His mother's eyes were tearful as she read the letter out loud to her child. Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have enough good teachers for training him. Please teach him yourself. Many, many years later, after Edison's mother died and he was now one of the greatest inventors of the century, one day he was looking through old family things. Suddenly he saw a folded paper in the corner of a drawer in a desk. He took it and opened it. On the paper was written, "Your son is addled, mentally ill. We won't let him come to school anymore." Edison cried for hours, and then he wrote in his diary, "Thomas Alva Edison was an addled child that, by a hero mother, became the genius of the century." I love that story. Love it. Because you know what? Sometimes it's not just about the words that we let in. It's about the words that we speak out. And it's about the words that we speak over other people. We not only need to choose the words we let in, but we need to choose the words, ladies, that we speak out. Do you know what? I would hate the voices inside of someone else's head to sound like me. I would hate that. I would hate the voices in other people's head to have my accent and my voice because I've spoken words. I want to really challenge us this morning that if we're going to grow into our next season, us growing into our next season doesn't mean that we do it at the expense of other people. Actually, what we need to become is women who take everybody with us, who encourage, who make sure that the voices in other people's heads, when it's got our voice on it, when it's got our speech, when it's got our accent, are only saying good things. I'm challenged by, you know, this man's mum and just the quick thinking to do that and to read something out that was not on that letter at all. But actually to be someone then that called out the genius inside of her son, that went against the trend. And I want to say, it's not just about the voices that we need to still, it's about the words that we're going to speak. Are you going to be someone that as you grow, takes other people with you through how you encourage and how you speak to them? So sometimes we've got to grow in spite of the voices within. Number three, we need to grow in spite of weakness and inadequacy. Do you know what? Weakness and inadequacy are feelings, they're not facts. And that's very different. We feel weak and we feel inadequate. That is not who we are. Because the Bible tells us that although sometimes we experience weakness, that when we are weak, his power rests on us. That when we are weak, we are strong. And sometimes we've got to take the word of God over the feeling of our soul and the feeling of our heart and choose to believe that. And sometimes we've got to grow in spite of that. You know, for a lot of this year, I felt really weak. And I've had to choose, God, I'm just going to grow in spite of that. And some days I've done it, and other days I have miserably failed at it. You know, there are days where I've come to the end of the day and I've just gone, God, I have not moved an inch forward. But actually, I want to say to you, God is just so faithful and so loving that he actually wants us to grow in spite of weakness and in spite of inadequacy. So I want to give you some quick tips of how to shake this off. If you're feeling that today, I want to give you some quick tips. You may not like them, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Number one, admit your weakness to yourself. Admit it. We all have them. We all have those areas that we struggle in. We all have those areas that we find difficult. And the best way to moving on is to admit it to ourselves. Number two, tell someone else about it. Go and sit with someone that you trust and say, listen, I'm just struggling with this right now. I'm feeling weak in this area. Can you just please help me? Number three, let them help you. Because other people can sometimes see an insight into you that you can't see. So let them help you. Number four, let God in and let his words begin to heal you and begin to strengthen the area. Let God in, because he is the healer and the restorer of our soul, the Bible tells us. He is the one who will help grow us into all he has got for us. And the last one is simply this, grow anyway. Yeah. Do it anyway. In spite of that inadequate feeling, that weak feeling, grow anyway. We've got to be people who can mature to the point that actually, I love what Christine said this morning about that lady who put on joy every day. And normally when we see people like that, we go, well, it's all right for them. And I love that the Father Christine went, actually, it's not all right for her. This has been her life. That's the choice she chooses. I'm going to grow anyway, in spite of what might be my weakness, what might be the inadequacy that I feel. In spite of that, I'm going to put on joy. And it's not a false thing. It's a real deep thing. I'm going to put on joy and I'm going to grow in spite of it. Isaiah 62 verses 1-4 says this: regarding Zion, I can't keep my mouth shut. Regarding Jerusalem, I can't hold my tongue until her righteousness blazes down like the sun and her salvation flames up like a torch. Foreign countries will see your righteousness and world leaders your glory. You'll get a brand new name straight from the mouth of God. You'll be a stunning crown in the palm of God's hand, a jeweled gold cup held high in the hand of your God. No more will anyone call you rejected. And your country will no more be called ruined. You'll be called Hephzibah, which means my delight. And your land Beulah, which means married. Because God delights in you. God spoke these words over a weak and inadequate Jerusalem. He spoke these words over his people who were weak, who were inadequate, who needed restoring. And this is what he said: no longer will anyone call you rejected. No longer is someone going to do that, or ruined. Because I delight in you, I'm putting a new name over you. Because I delight in you, I'm speaking something different over you. And I want to say to you this morning, those weaknesses, those inadequate feelings that you think you've got because someone else saw that weakness in you and has spoken it out this morning, you will need a new name from God's mouth. This morning, you need to know that no longer will people call you rejected. No longer will people call you ruined. As you begin to grow into what God has for you, God is going to begin to change how others see you. Yep. So this morning, we've got to grow in spite of that. And then lastly, we need to grow in spite of the challenge. Do you know what? Some seasons are painful and some seasons are challenging. In 21 years... here, some seasons have been painful and some seasons have been challenging. But you know what? We need to choose to grow in spite of that. I was sent this. Can you just come and turn this around, because I'll probably drop it. Okay, I was sent this quote in May this year from a friend. She knew a little bit what was going on. I just want to read it to you. It says this: heavy is the crown and yet she wears it as if it were a feather. There is strength in her heart, determination in her eyes, and the will to survive resides within her soul. She is you, a warrior, a champion, a fighter, a queen. And in the middle of my weak, inadequate season, in the middle of my challenge, in the middle of, you know, living with the consequences of past things, in the middle of all that, my friend sent me this. Heavy is the crown. And for some of you, sometimes it is heavy. Sometimes it is hard. And yet she wears it as if it were a feather. There's strength in her heart, determination in her eyes, and the will to survive resides in her soul. And my friend sent me this quote, and she just messengered it to me. And she just said this: saw this, thought of you. I was like, come on. Come on, God. Heavy's the crown right now. It's a tough one, God. God, I need to wear it like it's a feather. Because Matthew 11 says, come to me, those of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For some of us, we felt the crown's a bit heavy. And God wants you to know today, do you know what? You're wearing it as if it were a feather. Because I didn't see that. If I'd have read that quote, I'd have thought it was nice. But when someone applied it to me, all of a sudden it began to change me. She is you, a warrior, a champion, a fighter, a queen. So I sent it to James. I said, you just need to do something with this. And then we found a framing, and Katie's helped us do that this week. And because this is going to go on my wall in my office. And the next time those things come, all I'm going to have to do is look up. Because actually, this was a word from God into my life. You see, you can wear what is heavy as if it were light when you do it in his strength. He revives you for the days ahead, and he determines your steps so you can walk with the determination in your heart. Ladies, whatever your growth point is this morning, grow in spite of. Because we all have reasons why not to grow. I like my sofa, and that is a great reason not to leave it and go to the gym. I have everything I need in my house. Why do I need to leave it? Why? Because I need to grow. And whatever your growth point is right now, whatever God is doing in you, whatever maybe some of the challenges are in your heart and in your life, I want to say to you from today, what I'd love every woman to go home with is a fight in a spirit, a right fight that says, you know what? I can grow into what you've got for me, God. I can grow into it. I'm going to grow in spite of the past. I'm going to grow in spite of the voices. I'm going to grow in spite of my feelings. And I'm going to grow in spite of the challenge and in spite of the pain. God, help me today to grow into what you have got for me to be. Help me today to grow into the person that you want me to be. In spite of all this, God, I'm choosing to grow. And just as we bring this session to a close, it's good sometimes to respond straight away to the word of God. And if maybe one of those points that I've talked about, maybe you're like, okay, I need to take that. I need to chew it over a bit. I need to think about it. But I know that God's calling me to grow and I've put it off. Maybe you're a bit like I've been for a few years and you've put it off and you've put it off. But today we're just going to go, God, I'm just going to surrender because you're not going to change the record over my life. This morning, if one of those things, I'm going to say a blanket prayer, but if one of those things applies to you, you need to decide today to grow in spite of. Just stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. You're going to choose to grow in spite of God. You know, and I've been through tough seasons where it's about my leadership or it's about the church or, you know, it's about stuff like that. I've coped with that, but when it's been about me personally, as I look over this room, I'm glad I chose the journey because God told me I couldn't talk about it until I'd done it. Glad I chose the journey because I can honestly look you in the eye and say to you, whatever you're growing in spite of, it will be worth it. Will be worth it. Will be worth it. It will be worth it. Hope will never disappoint you. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And then Romans says in the NIV version, hope will not disappoint. At the end of this growth, at the end of what you're, you know, what God is asking of you right now, there will not be disappointment. Some of you really need to hear that today because I've had disappointing seasons in my life, but as I've moved on in God, God has brought joy to replace that. So this morning, let's just raise our hands if you're okay with that. It's just a sign of God, I surrender. I surrender, Father, to you this morning. Surrender to your ways, your will. I surrender to the journey ahead of me. I surrender to what you want to do in me. In spite of it all, I surrender so I can grow. And Father, I thank you for every lady right now who is making a declaration. God, who is making a declaration right now before you, before one another, before everything that is coming against them. God, we're making a declaration today that, Lord, we are willing to grow. We're willing to go on the journey, whatever that might be. And Lord God, I pray that from today, as we grow into all that you have got for us, Lord, I pray we will do it in spite of maybe the things that come against us. Lord, I pray today we will grow into what is placed on us because we stand in the grace that is given to us. Thank you that you have graced every person in this room for the season ahead. And Lord God, I pray this morning that you will just take our raised hands and our surrender and that Father God, you will just do what you need to do with that. In Jesus' name.